Well, we've got to go to Jerusalem. David Dolan is standing by there. David, our issues are looking at a lot of different things there in Jerusalem. I know that, first of all, there was an announcement of early elections. Then they're going to have a coalition, probably the largest they've ever had in the Israeli government. I'll get to that in just a moment. But let me ask you about what our focus is today on gay marriage, same-sex marriage. We talked with Bob McGinnis about this. He said it was a dark day in America. As I understand it, several of the members of the Knesset are considering putting forth some type of legislation that would allow for gay marriage or the same-sex marriage right there in Israel. What's the latest? Is there any possibility that could happen in the land of the Bible?
Well, that they will put forward the proposal will probably happen, but that it will be passed by the Knesset is absolutely impossible. It's not a government-sponsored bill. It's one of the small left-wing opposition parties that is proposing it. They're a member of, as you just stated, a dwindling opposition. Over three-fourths of the Knesset members are now in the coalition government, so the chances that such a bill will pass are basically zero. There has been a lot of debate about the issue, though, this week here in Israel on the television, commentators mostly, but some political and some religious leaders jumping into it. And, of course, as you know, Jimmy, a third of Israelis are Orthodox. They regularly attend synagogue. They certainly would be against this. This is obviously not a biblical proposition. And I think a lot of the rest of the country, too, would be opposed to it. So it probably has no chance of going anywhere at present, certainly.
What is so interesting to me, when President Obama came out supporting gay marriage or same-sex marriage, he actually started a national debate in the United States, and that debate, as you've just indicated, is spreading across the entire world. Well, it is indeed a sad day as far as this world is concerned. I believe that the death knell has been signed on America, if that's the way they're going to go. Well, let's get to the issue that you mentioned just a moment ago. A large number of the members of the Knesset are now on the side of the coalition government, the Netanyahu government. Now, talk to me about this. First of the week, Netanyahu says, hey, the early elections in September. And then all of a sudden, there was an overnight deal, and he formed the largest coalition that I believe Israel's ever had. Is that the case, and how did it come about?
It's definitely the largest coalition by far that Israel's ever had. Again, over three-fourths of the members of the Knesset, nearly 100 out of the 120 members of the Knesset are part of this new coalition, 96 to be precise. It's a remarkable development, Jimmy, but you may remember 2 weeks ago when you asked me about the press reports that Netanyahu was pushing for early elections, that I quoted a statement he made just the day before saying, no, I'm not in favor of that. Well, then we hear a couple days later that he is going to call for early elections and et cetera. And it seemed like a real overnight flip-flop to me, and I wondered what is going on here. Well, what it turns out is it was a very, in my estimation, brilliant political maneuver on his part, because he knew that the opinion polls were showing that the main opposition Kadima party, and don't forget that Kadima is really from the Likud party. It was formed by Ariel Sharon, a veteran Likud party leader. Most of the members of Knesset that are part of it left the Likud party to join Ariel Sharon in this new party. So many people, even at the time, said this is just a reformed Likud party, a little bit further to the left indeed, but not a huge amount further. It was mainly over the issue of the Gaza withdrawal, which, of course, Netanyahu and other Likud party politicians at the time opposed. So that was the basis of it. And so in one sense, it's just the reforming of the older Likud party that existed before Ariel Sharon took that stand. But, of course, Kadima, being a more centrist party, has attracted more left-wing voters, and therefore it is currently the largest party in the Knesset with 29 seats to the Likud's 28. So you put those two parties together and you add in Ehud Barak's former Labor Party faction. He quit the party, but he took part of it with him. And the Russian-Israel Beitenu Party and several others that are in the coalition. And you have a massive across-the-board government, which is unprecedented and should afford Netanyahu a chance to do some unprecedented things politically over the next 18 months, if indeed it holds together, as most think it will.
Well, now, indeed, should that not give him his capability of making the decision about what Israel is going to do with Iran and not having to wait to hear what President Obama wants him to do?
Well, yes, but of course he still needs the members of the various parties that are in the coalition to agree, or at least he would like that. And we had an interesting statement just today from the Deputy Prime Minister Yaalon, who is a former chief of staff himself. And he basically said that Israel would be making a mistake by taking on Iran alone. He said, "We certainly hope that doesn't have to come about, and that we should really leave it to others to take the lead in that role, in other words, the United States, which doesn't seem likely at this time, certainly, but that's what he said. So it doesn't appear that Netanyahu has everybody on board as for taking such a strike, at least currently. But in the meantime, he does remain prime minister. It is a broad coalition, and he might just take that decision. Ehud Barak would probably be a supporter of it, and others as well. But what they're supposed to be focusing on, they're saying, is reforming the Tal law, which was declared unconstitutional by the Israeli Supreme Court earlier this year. And that was a law that allowed most ultra-Orthodox Jewish young men to evade a military service. And the demand now in the new coalition agreement states that they will revise that so that everybody in the country, every 18-year-old male and female, will have to do some sort of service, whether it's in the military or it's community service. And in the case of the religious Jews, it would be mostly community service. And Arab Israelis, for the first time. There's over a million Arab Israeli citizens, and almost half of them are under the age of 25. They would have to do some sort of community service. They wouldn't be expected to join the army unless they want to, but that's one of the major goals. And then reforming the political system, which gives these small fringe parties a lot more power than many Israelis believe they should have. There's especially a demand for a direct vote of at least a portion of the Knesset members. Now, as you know, Jimmy, the Israelis go to the polls and just vote for a party of their choice, not for a local or regional representative that would represent just their area. But that's what many are demanding. And we'll see what happens with those supposed reforms that are supposed to come in. But certainly a broad government has a much greater chance of enacting such things than a narrow government does.
Yes, very interesting developments governmentally there in Israel, a powerful government in place under Benjamin Netanyahu. David, I need about 15 seconds on this, if you will. A Muslim cleric in Egypt meeting with a group of supporters, mostly Muslim Brotherhood, in the largest soccer stadium there, calling for the United States of the Arabs, a caliphate with Jerusalem as its capital. They're willing to march to Jerusalem to take it. Your thoughts quickly in about 15 seconds.
Well, we definitely are seeing Egypt going far more in the direction of Muslim fundamentalism than most expected to take place. I thought it would. It's happening. And so anything is possible.
Anything is indeed possible. We've got Yaakov Lepin standing by. He's written a book about the virtual caliphate on the Internet. We're going to get his comments on this situation, this development, which he said in his book would indeed be the case. We'll talk with him just after the break here in a few moments. David, thank you so very much. I appreciate you being there. Wow, it's an exciting time in Israel. I'm so glad you're there to help us understand all that's going on. Talk to you again next week.
Thank you, Jimmy. God bless.